right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 352. I am your host, GBD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, as always, we are joined by a man who has trademarked the word wombat. Wombat. It wasn't going to be that funny even if I delivered it smoothly, so that's
even why. If you didn't step over the joke?
Yeah, so that's why I didn't even feel like restarting.
You're terrible at this. I gave you ammunition, but you still decided, nope, why go with things? I'm just going to step on a bad joke.
Whatever.
Eh.
Also, shipwreck.
That's my best intro yet. You nailed like my intro.
That was fun. Yeah, that was funny. I'm amused.
The key is to use small words. For me, anyway.
That's the key to your life, I thought.
Yes. Anyway, welcome to the show. We have a lot of interesting things to talk about. I will tickle your ass with a feather by saying we're going to be talking about the Microsoft Machinima controversy.
Machinima?
Isn't that how you say it?
That's not what you said.
What did I say? Machinima.
You Japanese'd it up.
Whatever. Well, I don't even know anything about it. We'll also be talking about the whole King saga. See what I did there?
Yep, that was cute.
And I don't know what else. There seems to be other things on this outline that we'll be discussing as well. But anyway, I thought we could start with a little CADcast thug life. If you saw recently on YouTube, I posted a little video on behalf of our Child's Play fundraiser that shows my game collection that I'm giving away as part of our raffle. Did you guys happen to check out that video?
I did. It was very exciting.
I thought it was pretty cute.
Well, yeah.
If Ty wasn't in it, it would have been.
Well, then it would have been great.
No, hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were recording.
Right. So anyway, of course, if you go to youtube.com/GBD, you can check out the video and then just go to cheapassgamer.com and donate to the raffle and a little widget there, and you can win fabulous prizes such as that game collection. You see what I did with the empty PlayStation 4 boxes?
I did. You tricked everybody.
Fooled them all.
I knew they weren't the ones that I had in my house.
Right. But nobody else knew. People probably realized that I wouldn't put $900 worth of video game consoles on a unsteady stack.
Yeah, I don't think all those Xbox 360 cases would hold an Xbox One.
No, that thing is heavy.
It is sturdy.
And if there's an earthquake, that whole stack is coming right down because it's pretty unsteady as it is. Anyway,
that is that.
I have a shelf, but it's all warped now because it was one of those cheap shelves. And anyway, my collection, as people pointed out on Twitter, my collection is nothing compared to the Shipwreck collection, which I certainly concede to.
Well, that's an animal of its own.
Yeah, I don't even consider it a collection on my end, though. It's just games that I have.
It's a sickness, really.
It's really, I have no, it's something that would be on television.
There's things that I have acquired.
Like one day there's going to be a show about a guy who buys old video games, and he's going to go to your house and he's gonna be like, I'm here meeting Robert. Robert supposedly has a large collection of games, and he'll go into your living room and he'll see like the five games and he'll be like, I don't know. And then you'll take him down to your basement that looks like a Blockbuster, but they won't show that until after the commercial break. They'll just show you opening the door and the guy's face going
like Pawn Star. He'll be on Pawn Stars.
Exactly.
Somehow, though, there's already a camera shot from inside the room.
Exactly.
How many games are in that collection? Do you have any idea? In yours. Mine, I know, is about 150 or so. Mm, what about yours?
I think I don't know, somewhere around 3,000 or so. I haven't counted.
It's a good thing you live in Ohio.
I bought some new games, though. Got some, you did. Some Sega CD games.
What'd you get?
I picked up Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. You guys remember that show?
I do. That's a classic cartoon.
And I'm sure the game is fantastic as well. It looked great. Oh. That's all I know.
How could it be? How could it be anything less than amazing?
And I picked up Dune for Sega CD. Did you guys ever play that?
No.
Neither did I.
No.
Did you guys ever see the movie Dune?
No.
No. or read the books. I know nothing. All I know is that Sting was in it and they made toys for it.
So I'm there. I got a couple other Sega CD games as well, though. So I'm at the retro shop that still has this type of stuff. And I took him up to the counter and the guy just like started like quoting lines from Dune to me. And I felt bad because I could not come back with anything. And then he just started like asking me if I read the books. It was like a quiz of whether or not I deserve to buy this $5 Dune game for Sega CD.
Are you worthy?
Did you ever get that copy of Night Trap in the mail?
No. The seller canceled on me on Amazon.
Oh, what a jerk.
I know. I don't know. I'll get another copy here soon, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. That game, I had that game.
So did, I had it for that. Sega CD 32X.
I had it for regular Sega CD at launch.
Nice.
That was a launch title, wasn't it? It was, right?
Yeah, it had to be a launch title because it was in the cardboard boxes. So yep, it was at least that, early.
That and Sewer Shark.
Oh, that came with it, didn't it?
Yeah. Sewer Shark, yeah. Oh, yeah. I even had the Make Your Own video. I had that.
Wait, which one?
Marky Mark?
C&C, I believe. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a super nerd.
Do you still have those videos? I'd like to see these videos.
I don't. I don't have them. I wish that was stolen in college. All of my Genesis Sega CD stuff. Oh, well.
People are so evil.
Que sera, sera. But I had a Genesis collection that would make Shipwreck blush.
Right.
Oh, well.
What was that, Chip?
Did you guys get any Sega CD games last week? No.
I just got Snow.
I just bought a new Nerf gun.
What kind?
The shotgun.
Why?
Because they're fun, dude. You don't know about the Nerf guns?
I mean, they look like fun, but...
They're really fun. You got to get into these things. We had we met some friends at Tokyo American Club that their kids had them. And so now we have Nerf Wars every weekend over there. So it's there. I just bought the shotgun that shoots. It can shoot two at a time, which is important. You need two shots at a time. That way you can take out both eyes at the same time. Because you don't want the guy to just have partial vision. You got to take him totally out. I really recommend those. Those guns are fun and they're cheap too. You can get a really good gun for $5.
Where?
So, anywhere. Amazon. They sell the gun that shoots, that holds three at a time. I forgot what it was called. It's only $5. And they have guns that are good that are only $10. I think it's good. You should introduce this to the Wombat household.
But who's going to pay for my divorce?
Exactly. Right. It could get expensive quickly. Yeah, well, Mrs. Cheapy didn't seem to mind. We don't really shoot them around when she's there much.
But that's probably part of it. It's not that she would be against the idea of the toy gun. It's more of the kids running around the house, knocking everything over.
Right. And then shooting you in the nuts, basically.
Uh-huh.
The cool thing is they sell some of the, you can buy the darts that have suction on the end.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you can shoot people's drinking glasses while they're drinking and it sticks to the glass. Or if you have a bald guy, you could shoot him in the head and it'll stick to their head.
Mm-hmm. I bet you know that from experience.
We had to test it out.
I bet you did.
It sort of works. It sticks for about a second and then falls off.
I saw they had they've got like a girl's version of these guns too. Go.
I saw that today.
Yeah, they're all like, I think they're a little like bows and arrows because of the Hunger Games.
Ty has one that has a laser sight on it. And it was only like $12 or something like that. It's one of the few things that one of the few toys that are either cheaper here than in America or the same price. They don't seem to jack it up for Japan. But I think the strong arm is the best one. It has like the revolver six shooter thing going on. It's pretty cool.
Nerf guns. I'm looking it up now on Amazon.
End Strike. Yeah, End Strike is what they call it.
The Nerf End Strike Elite. Elite strong arm blaster.
Yeah,
for
$15 in Japan, they sell it with not only you get the gun and 30 something suction darts for
not
free.
Bad.
Yeah,
it's $9.88 on Amazon right now.
Cheap. That is cheap. You should probably just order that immediately.
Should I just get? I mean, I shouldn't get the Nerf End Strike Elite Rampage Blaster for $30.
No, you can. You don't want to spend that much. I think that's probably one of the strong arm is probably one of the best ones, and it's only $10. You should probably buy two of those and the little 3-point one. It might
the
be tough
Triad
for Elliot to cock.
EX3 or the Nerf and Strike Maverick?
No, the Triad is the good one. Yeah. And that's, how much is that? That's like $5?
$10.
Okay, see, that one's only $5 in Japan.
They make one called the Stampede that's $70.
they have a lot of crazy ones. But I refuse to spend more than 20, I think. 20 is
that makes sense.
Level.
I don't think I'd want to spend more than $10. I do like the Nerf Axe, though. That looks like it could be fun.
They don't sell those in Japan.
No axes, only guns.
It was like $80. It was an import.
Oh, well.
And other toys, other toy news, I was cleaning up my game collection. I found my old Pebble watch. Do you remember the Pebble smartwatch that I bought? Speaking of useless electronics, they did a lot of updates to it. So now you get all notifications for every app will show up on there. So it's actually useful now, but it's still not going to be as good as whatever Apple puts out whenever they put it out. So I think I started wearing it
useful,
today.
What do you mean by that word?
Well, the value in the Pebble watch for me is I'm constantly taking out my phone to see if I have any messages or check on Twitter or things like that. And I feel like any time that you can avoid taking the phone out of your pocket, that's a win because there's a less chance that you're going to drop it. And also, you don't seem as antisocial when you just keep pulling out the phone and all that. And you just look at your watch. It's like, oh, he's just looking at the watch. So when you guys, you know, say something in our little chat room, iMessage chat room, just pops up on the watch. Any emails I get, it just all comes up there.
But then you have to pull out your phone to do anything with them.
Well, only if
like, what if I say something important that you need to respond to right away?
That has yet to happen, ever.
It happens at least once every 3 months.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you're better off just waiting to see what Apple does because I'm sure Apple will have like a microphone in there and maybe you can just use voice to respond. I don't know.
I think you think too much of Apple, but that's just me.
No, I just don't think that much of the Pebble.
Well, that's different too.
Yeah. I also, before we go on to show feedback, I wanted to mention and see if there are any CAGs living in Guam because we're going on vacation to Guam next month. And I want to get the inside track on Guam cuisine. And by that, I mean weed.
Well, I'm going to be in Los Angeles on February 10th through the 13th. If anyone, I don't know.
I have the inside track on weed for there if you need it.
Yeah, that I don't need, but I will be by myself. So. Although I may go see Christian Spicer's show on Monday. If anyone, if we want to do like maybe a mini meetup there or something, hit me up.
That's a good idea. Wombat@cheapassgamer.com.
Yeah, it'll be at Meltdown Comics that Monday the 10th, I think at 9 o'clock. Look at that. I have all the information.
Plug. Were you paid for this promotion? How much were you paid?
I can't tell you that it's a promotion. So no, it wasn't a promotion.
Okay. Let's do some show feedback and then we'll move on to the controversies du jour.
Sure. Yinos has to say, I have to say I completely agree with Wombat. If my internet is going super slow when I know nothing in my house is taking bandwidth, I get very irritated. I pay for cable internet with high speed upgrade and I pay for cable TV with a few extra premium channels. My monthly bill is almost $200.
That is insane.
So if I told you my monthly bill, you would fall down.
It's more than $200?
Well, it also has my cell phone and my wife's cell phone on there. So it's two iPhones, cable, internet, and because really it doesn't cost anything, the landline.
So that's probably like closer to $400, right?
It's
$350?
It's close to that. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, the iPhones make a big dent in that, I'm sure.
Yeah, the iPhones make a big dent in that, and I get every channel.
Do you really need every channel?
No, I don't need every channel, but the cost difference is $10 a month.
See, that's how they get you. That's how McDonald's gets you with the supersize. Like, oh,
yeah, but I'm not gonna get fat by having Showtime and HBO.
Yeah, you will. You just sit on your ass and you watch dumb shit.
I get Iron Man 3 on at least every... 3 hours Iron Man 3 will be on.
That's a horrible film.
I watched that again.
It's not. Yeah, I like it.
No,
it's pretty good.
And It's in when I didn't like it when I first saw it. If those who remember when I talked about it the first time, but now having seen it about four more times, kind of like it.
I like how, did you just say like it's not making you fat having these extra channels, and you just said you spent 8 hours watching
that. I don't know if you know this, Cheapy, but it's eight yes. degrees in New York, and it yes. snowed a foot the other day.
Xbox Fitness, dude. Come on. Get in shape, girl. You got the feeling.
I don't know.
I got new internet. Well, it's the same company, Time Warner still, but I upgraded to Ultimate.
How's that treating you?
It's
you sound like me now.
I don't know that I would describe it as Ultimate.
Right.
More at maybe sometimes adequate.
Right.
Slightly. I'm supposed to be getting 50 down and 5 up. And
that's a big spread right there.
It is a big spread.
5 up is the maximum I can get. There's nothing else in the area that gets me more than 5 up. But it took me last weekend. It took me 7 hours of my weekend to get everything upgraded. I bought my own cable modem and had them activate that and got everything set up. Was looking good, and then Monday, everything just crapped out, and I've come to find out that they just canceled my whole order, and for no reason. They disabled my modem, so I wasn't getting any internet whatsoever.
Is this Time Warner, by the way?
Yeah, Time Warner.
Okay.
And so, yeah, then I had to call back and spend another 2 hours with them to get everything turned back on again. And I got quoted two different prices. Like the first time was $20 more than it was the second time I called. Oh,
Jesus. America. American customer service. It's the best.
And then I found out the second guy, he seemed like he knows what's going on. You want to get to the tier three guys is who you want to talk to with Time Warner.
Okay.
They're the guys with the power. But he basically checked the area and saw that my neighborhood or whatever is linking into to the internet here, it's just overburdened. So they were going to come out sometime here and flip a switch or, I don't know.
Boost it.
Put some hardware in and get that fixed.
Yeah, that's why I like Verizon. They actually put like the thing on my house. So my internet isn't supposed to be slower. Although that doesn't really necessarily work either because I'm supposed to be getting 50-25. And mind you, it is on my wireless. I'm getting 9 and 20.
That shouldn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it really shouldn't matter that much.
No.
Unless I'm not really not that far away from the from my router. I mean, yes, it's in my son's room, but he's not that far away from here.
You need to get you a Nighthawk.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of moving everything. And running it, I have a splitter if I moved it into the living room. But would that screw up everything else, though? Would that affect the quality?
No.
A coaxial splitter?
No, you just have to make sure you get one that's good enough quality. Like, you don't want a lot of resistance in it. So,
well, I have one in my hand that I found in the basement.
Well, how much resistance do you think that has in it?
I have no idea.
Sit on it. And
yeah, I was going to say, I have no idea. It says it's a broadband product incorporated.
Sounds high quality.
And it says -9 decibels on it. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, that's the amount of noise that you would pick up. That might be okay.
I mean, I could also just try it and see if it works. And if it doesn't, I could switch everything back. It wouldn't be all that difficult. I just need to do it. So.
All I know is I saw a picture on Reddit of a Time Warner cable repair guy in somebody's house sleeping on their couch.
Right, because he was on hold for them to activate their modem. I understand. Yeah. I can empathize with that guy.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, what else we got here?
I think we can move on to watch this, bitches.
Okay. We started, I don't know, did I talk about this show last week, True Detective?
You did.
Oh, I did? Or is it True Detectives? I don't even know.
True Detective. You had it right the first time, and yes, you talked about it last week.
Oh, well, the second episode was even better than the first, I thought, because it has big boobies in it.
What channel is that on?
And HBO.
Oh, I get that now. Good.
You do?
And Matthew McConaughey is like pretty awesome actor. He's pretty amazing in it. And also big boobies. Did I mention the big boobies? There's big boobies in it. And a nice tushy.
No anal squirting? Isn't that what you're into?
There's no. You mean backdooring and squirt. Backdoored and squirting.
So I thought you were into anal squirting. Isn't that your thing?
Even Mrs. Cheapy had to comment about the quality of this woman's tushy in the episode. But the show really has everything. It's got drugs, violence, sex, weird stuff. I mean, it checks all the boxes pretty much. Anyway, let's move on to new releases. Are there any? There are some.
There's a couple. Kick Beat Steam Edition came out for Steam. And I've been playing Ollie Ollie on the Vita.
Okay. Now that game is Tony Hawk, right?
It's driving me nuts to see this game talked about online because not one reviewer or commenter or anybody can avoid going like a sentence without mentioning Tony Hawk alongside this game. And they're not anything similar. It just drives me crazy that people can't come up with a better comparison just because they're two games about skateboards.
Well, let's hear your better comparison.
It is, let's see. I would say it's like if Bit Trip Runner and Joe Danger had a baby. That's what this game is.
You can't stop once you start?
Can't stop.
Okay.
It's 2D. There's a definitive start and end to each level. If you crash, that's the end. Like, you don't get another try. So that's like Bit Trip Runner.
Mm-hmm. I got that so far.
And you can do tricks. So that's like Joe Danger.
Sure. Or that other game that I can never... Trials.
Trials. It could be like a Trials type of thing too, but Trials wasn't really about tricks.
I always call Trials Trails.
Trials wasn't really about tricks at all. Trials was really just about getting through the environments, which... That's a little bit of what Ollie Ollie's about too, because you have to figure out kind of like where you want to jump, and there's like multiple kind of paths you can take as you're going through. But it's all very simple controls. You do tricks with the left analog stick, and anytime you want to grind, you just flick the analog stick in a direction, and that starts your grinding. And the whole thing's about timing. So like you want to hit the analog stick like right as you're getting ready to grind to get a perfect grind, and then to land you hit the X button and you want to hit that right at the right time or else you'll lose speed or crash or whatever. It's fun. I think for PlayStation Plus I paid $10 and something for it, and that seems a little bit pricey for what this game is, because it's kind of got like an iPhone game but with adequate, I feel like I said adequate a lot in this episode, but it's got controls. But I don't know. I don't think it's a game that either one of you would enjoy because it can get kind of frustrating. But I've beaten all of the levels on the amateur setting, and now I'm going through them on pro, and I guess there's a rad setting after that. It's fun. It's just, I think it's a little bit pricey.
Yeah, I think I'll pass.
I fell asleep about 5 minutes ago. So this game's like Tony Hawk?
That's all right. I'm going to fall asleep during your Macnicama and Microsoft talk or whatever.
All right. What else we have for new releases?
I don't know anything about Insurgency for Steam. Do you know?
Yeah, I was checking it out because it was cheap and it's a first-person shooter, but... It seems to be getting really decent reviews. It's like an indie first-person shooter that's supposed to be sort of Counter-Strike-esque, but also realistic. It's not going to look as good as your Battlefield or your Call of Duty games, but it's a lot more grounded in reality and requires a lot more teamwork to really be good at it. It sounds interesting. I may have to check it out. But I don't know.
I was just always happy in Counter-Strike when I got to fire my gun before I died.
Yeah, that's always a bonus. these dudes that have memorized every inch of the map, and yeah, you don't really stand a chance. Anything else here?
No, I think that's good enough.
Good enough. That's our motto. CADcast. It's good enough. I mentioned the Child's Play raffle. Did you give out? I have not.
No, last week I teased saying that I hope to have these codes for this week, and I have three codes to give away for Max the Curse of Brotherhood for the Xbox One.
Which is an excellent game.
It is an excellent game. I think we all have it now. I'm thinking just, leave a comment in the show thread saying that you want the game and something specific about the show that lets us know that you listen to it.
Aha! I like that. So excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a quick ad for our friends at GoDaddy for all your web hosting and domain registration needs.
Not make this so obvious that we're doing an ad here.
I mean, hey guys, I made a website and I used this thing, place called GoDaddy.
I never heard of them. Do they have any offers or something that might help me if I wanted to build a website?
Let me check. Ah, they do. They have $2.95 domain registrations and transfers with coupon code 295CAG. Also, new website builder plans for $1 a month for 12 months. I have to do it quick. I can't keep the charade going any longer. Otherwise, my head will explode. New website builder plans for $1 a month for 12 months. WSB9. I can only assume that stands for Whip Smart Banky 9. $1.99 economy hosting for 12 months with a free domain. That seems very cheap to me. Host off one is the code for that one. And also 30% off new order purchases with code 30DEAL1. You can just look in the CADcast show thread for all of these fascinating offers and that they are not paying us for in any way or form.
Those sound like amazing deals. I'm going to take advantage of them right now.
Okay, I'll wait for you. Okay, let's talk about the Microsoft Machinima. Did I say it properly this time?
You did. You said it properly. That was impressive. Thank you.
Okay, so in case you're not up to date on this whole thing, it leaked out on, I believe it was NeoGAF first, that Machinima, God, I hate that name. Machinima was hosting a promotion for their YouTube content promoters, YouTube content providers, which basically netted them a $3 CPM, which is $3 per 1,000 views, for any footage that their creators used Xbox One games for and put a special hashtag on there with the guidelines that they couldn't be negative about Xbox or the games or Machinima and a bunch of other things. It was a pretty lengthy contract that they had to agree to be a part of this promotion. It also stipulated that you couldn't mention the terms of the contract and such things like that, basically. So, of course, immediately the internet exploded because Microsoft, the evil Microsoft, is always doing evil things. Microsoft is trying to, bribe YouTubers to, whatever. Now, I thought this would be a great conversation for this show because, first of all, Wombat's real job probably, is heavily involved with internet advertising and promotions and things of very much of this nature. And myself, I've even sold an advertising package to somebody that was similar to this in a way.
And I have used YouTube before.
you have an Xbox and you've used YouTube before, so we're really all just experts on this. My theory from the very start was when we learned right away that the whole promotion was limited to, and I forgot the exact total, but it was just over 1 million page views, which comes out to about $3,700 total spend on this entire promotion.
Which is
probably less than Microsoft as a company spends on toilet paper every day.
That is probably true, actually.
Right. Well, actually, you know, they have 100,000 employees worldwide. So that's, I mean, they're all probably taking a shit at work, right? Because they want to get paid to take a shit. So how many, we could actually, someone's going to figure this out later, but I don't have a calculator, but it's probably, it's, yeah. Anyway, so it became clear to me right away that there's no way that Microsoft is setting up any advertising deal with anybody for less than $4,000. It's just, it's, well, nothing.
That's not really how it would work anyway.
Go on, Wombat.
Okay. So actually having dealt with, and it's been a long time, but I've dealt with Microsoft technically before, at least from what my experience, and it's from going back to about a couple of years anyway, is, and this is very normal, you rarely go through a client direct on a large advertising buy. So in a large advertising buy, you would generally go through the agency. So let's take Microsoft out of the loop. I'll just say client X, computer company X, works with ad agency Y. Ad agency Y, what their job is to come up with a large overall scoping plan that they would show to Microsoft. And Microsoft is going to pay this ad agency basically kind of a big upfront, a big sum. It's not necessarily upfront, but a big sum. So let's say the deal is for, and I've actually seen some of these deals and they're insane. So I don't know what the current Microsoft deal is, but it could be upwards of $100 to $500 million. And they say, okay, we want this much. And the ad agency will say, okay, we're going to put this much in a TV bucket. We're going to put this much in a radio bucket. We're going to put this much in a magazine bucket and this much in a digital bucket. Then it gets sparsed out to the different teams within the ad agency. So then the ad agency that handles the digital has their bucket of their dollars. So then they need to work on the plan that was made to get that business originally and say, well, who are we going to send RFPs to so we can fulfill our end of the agreement and spend this money that we got? So then they put it together and they send it out to, you know, probably a few thousand people. And from there, then they whittle that down and actually pull together some plans and sign some contracts.
What is Microsoft Machinima? I just want to cut to the chase.
Huh? Well, they
don't. I get a blog post about Microsoft being evil out of this.
So we're talking about, you know, whatever the Machinima deal is, it's with their agency, who I don't even know who it is at this point.
So so what you're saying is Major Nelson wasn't sitting at a table with Machinima plotting how they could fool everybody by putting up, getting a million views on YouTube.
It's funny because now Microsoft is, because it kind of went south, Microsoft is probably involved now.
Well, of course, they have to give a statement now.
Yeah, once Microsoft has to give a statement, that's when they're getting involved. And I'm sure someone at an agency is really mad. And there's also a very good chance that, you know, and I don't know this, this is purely speculation, that what Machinima is doing is outside of the contract that they have with the agency. So, you know, it's not unusual, let's say you have sponsored content on your website, that you would hire a blogger to write, or even a journalist, whatever, I'll use words. You hire a journalist to write an article about Microsoft. You, instead of paying them a flat fee, you offer to pay them based off of the page views that it gets, knowing that you're going to be getting that money back on the Microsoft ad buy that you're getting.
Well, yeah, Microsoft came out and said, as part of this campaign, Microsoft advertising dollars on Machinima were specifically for banner and pre-roll media placements. The additional video content creation was provided by Machinima as a value-add program. Microsoft was not aware of the terms and requirements that Machinima has in place with its content providers.
So it's also very possible then that maybe they didn't have the pre-roll inventory. So in a way to drum up their pre-roll inventory, pre-roll, for those who don't know, that's the 15-second to 30-second clip of commercial that would play before a video. So if you sell 100,000 pre-roll impressions, but you only have 50,000 pre-roll impressions, you need to come up with creative ways to get those 50,000 pre-roll impressions that you're missing, or you're not going to get paid for them. You just lose that money. So instead of eating those dollars, which may have been worked, and again, I don't know this. I'm talking in hypothetical situations.
Yeah, of course.
let's say that's worth $10,000, and you know that if you pay out $3,000 to your content providers, you can get those extra $50,000. That's worth it because you're still going to get $7,000 in your pocket.
Totally. I mean, I can say, like, speaking from Cheap Ass Gamer's point of view, if you remember many, many, many years ago, we did an XSplit. Not XSplit. Shit. What was it? XBlades. Do you remember that game, XBlades?
I do remember that game, XBlades. I remember that promotion.
So, God, it's. I hope I'm not messing this up, but I'm pretty sure what happened was somebody sent out an RFP for, just like you said, Wombat, somebody sent an RFP for XBlades. It was a media buy. It wasn't the publisher, actually. It was an agency, an ad agency. And they said, look, we have, you know, I forgot what the dollar amount was. Let's say $20,000. I don't remember exactly what it was. We have $20,000. We're looking to see what you can provide for $20,000 on from this date to this date. Write us, you know, here's the form, fill out the form and send it back to us. So I see this form like, well, I want $20,000. What, you know, and so I figure out how many page views I can serve in that amount of time and what that would come out to at a reasonable CPM. And just like you see, Wombat really does know what he's talking about. Just like Wombat said, I saw that I wouldn't be able to serve that many page views in that amount of time without having like an unreasonably high CPM, but I still wanted all the money. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put together a YouTube contest where we have people make a XBlade video, you know, and then I'll choose a contest winner and then I'll offer the best video $500 or whatever, an Amazon $500 Amazon gift card and a copy of the game or something like that. And I put that in the proposal. And of course, like, you know, and they didn't ask for like any details of, you know, like they didn't ask to see like what contract I would create for this type of thing or what the rules were necessarily. All they cared about was there anything that they would have to do for the contest? Yes or no? And if no was the answer, then everything looked great.
And exactly, and for you spending probably a couple of $100 out of pocket, you got probably $10,000 using your hypothetical $20,000 in extra on top of that that you wouldn't have been able to propose otherwise.
Exactly.
But you were very upfront with it from the beginning. When you're doing an XBlades contest.
Yes, of course.
You know, it's hard to hide that, nor should you.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, I am totally in agreement with everybody that says when you're doing a promotional video, certainly it should be clear to everybody that you are getting paid to do this promotional video.
Yeah, and I can actually say that's something that we do also, you know, my day job. You have to be upfront with it, and you should be upfront with it. And just because it's, and I'll even say this much, just because it's sponsored content doesn't always mean it's bad. Sometimes sponsored content is good.
So
nobody would care either.
Machinima then?
Yes.
Well, yes. If you look at the contract, the contract is clearly between Machinima and their content providers. The word Microsoft appears nowhere in the contract. Microsoft said they didn't know anything about the contract. And since their name is not mentioned in it, I would tend to agree with them. The contract said that, you know, specifically that you couldn't mention the terms of the contract. And I think, you know, I don't know if
Machinima doesn't want it getting back to Microsoft.
Well, it didn't, you know, I don't know. They don't want it getting back to, I'm not really sure. I know that YouTube, I know that Google, for example, if you're in their AdSense program, you're not allowed to mention the CPM that you're receiving. And that, you know, Google owns YouTube and YouTube runs Google ads on there. So you're not, even as a YouTube partner, you're not allowed to say, hey, I'm making a $2 CPM on my videos. So certainly I would understand if Machinima didn't want people taking part in the promotion to say,
and Machinima,
hey,
I can't sell pre-roll directly to their YouTube channel. They would only be able to sell it to their site traffic.
Right. Yeah, right. I think, and also YouTube has some rules about, you know, running product promoted videos, sponsored videos, you know, outside of AdSense. So I don't know, and I'm not sure what those rules are because
so, Juan,
I just,
you,
I don't
you
follow.
Should probably be able to answer this. Who do I boycott in this situation?
There's really no one to boycott. It was just they. This is all
you
I'm
can find
guessing.
Somebody to boycott here, Wombat. Who is it?
I'm just guessing here. It sounds like maybe Machinima sold more impressions than they were able to deliver, and their scramble in order to get those impressions was to offer up this promotion, hoping that their content providers would kind of do the marketing push, a bigger marketing push on their own. That might help them get over that hump and get those extra dollars. And that paying out the $3,000 was a worthwhile investment. Are there probably better ways to get your video views up? I can name a few that I won't talk about on this show. But it's just, you know, that's what
tits,
they did.
Right? Tits? Tits? Big tits?
Big tits. No, I'm not even going to talk about it. But
okay.
Some people that I'm supposed to have drinks with tomorrow night. That's how you do it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about this after the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would say, to answer your question, Chip, I would say if you're going to be mad at somebody, you should be mad at Machinima because they're trying to cover the fact that they're paid for play, basically. And really, would anybody care if your favorite YouTube came on and said, hey, I this is a paid promotion, but here, check out this video. I don't think people would really care.
Quite understand. Like, I'm not into Machinima. Like, I know that they exist, but I've always kind of seen them as a promotional type of thing. Like, they always have videos that are very strongly influenced, usually by Microsoft. Like, they'll do, I don't know, little promotional videos, basically.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I don't have
especially
anything
if you
want
to know how what a game looks like, someone playing a game for 5 minutes, even if they're, you know, overly excited for it, you're still getting to see the game that they're playing and you can form your own opinion. You know, if I were to watch you play Ollie Ollie and you're enjoying it and I know I'm not going to like that game, I don't need to hear you tell me how much you like it to know that I'm not going to.
What if I told you it was like Tony Hawk?
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's an important distinction that, you know, it's, I don't know why they, you know, went to subterfuge for this.
Right. That's sort of the, but let's be clear that it was Machinima that did that. That's the key points that you need to take away from this discussion is that one, Microsoft was likely very, very, very far removed from this specific promotion. And number two, you should blame Machinima. Machinima was being sneaky. They have a history of sort of treating their content providers very poorly, trying to lock them into these contracts that they can't get out of, that they that are unfair, very one-sided. So I don't know. And I saw that. Do you know who Francis is? The Francis character on YouTube.
Boogie 2988.
Yeah, the that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said he made a video and he basically said, "Look, this type of product placement on YouTube is really more of the norm than an exception." And I wonder, I haven't read the YouTube terms lately, and I have a feeling that the reason that people don't mention that these are paid placements really is that it violates YouTube's rules. But I'm not sure. Somebody would need to check that out. I think at one point that was definitely the case. I'm not sure if that's still true. And it also came out that EA has been doing the same thing for quite a while. Well, they'll actually say, did you read this thing where they...
Yeah, they actually will tell you that it's an advertisement, though.
Or right, and they
sponsored
get...
Sponsored content.
But they ask the YouTube creators to show specific parts of the game. Like, oh, show this. To qualify, you need to show this happening in the game.
Which isn't crazy. We're going to pay you. You could tell people that we're paying you.
Yeah.
But we're paying you to show this in our game. There's nothing wrong with that.
No,
it's called
I wish somebody
a commercial.
Would pay me. Yeah, I wish somebody would pay me to show something in their game.
I guess exactly. I can always just kind of tell. Like, nothing's... Like, I guess it's a little bit because we're pseudo-industry types, but it's not that hard to tell when somebody's getting paid or given something to do something.
So giving something for free and then make a video about
it. Yeah, it's not that hard to tell.
No, it isn't that hard to tell. That's kind of the point, especially if they're upfront about it from the beginning. But of course, with the Machinima thing, they were not. But yeah, it's just I don't know.
Well, I think Machinima learned their lesson, hopefully. But yeah, I would say
don't get caught.
No.
Oh,
my rule for everything that lesson. I do. No. Here's the. If I can give any advice to any of our listeners who are running a business out there. Any decision that you make, just assume that the public is going to find out about it at some point. Whether you run a tiny little website or a huge company, just assume that things leak out and that any decision you make will be in the public eye. And if that decision is not something you'd feel comfortable about, if people learned about it, then you probably shouldn't do it. It's a very good way to go through life.
I'll take it even one step further. The one thing I've learned. In this industry that we're discussing, is that telling the truth is always the easiest and best answer. Always.
Because people will find out probably the truth.
Anyway. People will usually find out if you're being dishonest, because I've watched people at other places on other sides of the fence, or people that I've worked with or whatever it is, get burned, sometimes worse than others. And also, when you tell the truth, sometimes it's an easier conversation. It's an easier place to start the conversation from. Like, oh yeah, we screwed up. We should have done this. We did this by mistake. You know, it happened to me not that long ago. Well, actually, it wasn't my mistake, but it was a mistake that. No, really, it honestly wasn't my mistake, but it was a mistake that happened, and I was the one who happened to catch it, and I was the one that had to go to the client and say, "This is the mistake that we made." And I put the onus on me. I said, I probably should have caught this earlier. What can we do about it?
We didn't make this client about.
Yeah. The client came back to me a couple hours later and said, you know, what you're showing me, we're going to take your word for it. We're going to go with it. And we wound up not losing anything, which was great.
Right.
But if I could have lied from the very beginning and said, no, your stuff was all broken, but I didn't.
Was it the resolution for that on the banner for the double sided dildo was too low? Was that the problem?
Yes, not enough dildo.
Not enough pixels in the double sided dildo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, since we're talking about Microsoft,
to help people and give context to the situation.
Look, you did a great Wombat. I was looking forward to this conversation all week. We didn't talk about it at all until right now. And you exceeded my expectations for the discussion. So
below me.
No, wait, I'm trying to give you a compliment. Why are you why are you insulting me?
Whatever, Shinobala. What's next?
Okay, well, we're talking about Microsoft, and I see that you bought a new Xbox One game.
I did.
How about that? Xbox One games go on sale, Wombat. It happened.
And I bought it. I'm like, I've been complaining for weeks that there has yet to be a weekly sale on the Xbox One, and poof, one appears. And I have to encourage it. And I bought PowerStar Golf. And I'm glad I did.
Didn't you reach out to Major Nelson specifically asking about Xbox One sales?
Yep.
Do you think that you're single-handedly responsible for the sale?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, there you have it.
Probably not.
I think so.
I think I'm one of many voices, though.
After Major Nelson got up from that table with the head of Machinima about how they could fuck over everybody on YouTube, he got that message from Wombat, and then he made the sale happen.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I bought it.
So how is PowerStar Golf?
It's a lot of fun. I think you would really like it, GP. I think
I own it.
Oh, you do? Okay, I thought I saw your name on there.
Oh, a Keg sent it to me.
Cool.
But we can't play it together, right?
There's no true multiplayer, but I could see your shots.
Penis. Oh.
So you only played like what, 3 holes?
Shh.
Yeah.
I told the guy who sent it to me that I played a lot.
That's what I thought, because I remember seeing you. I'm like, oh, Chippy has this game. I didn't know that. Yeah. It's actually, I mean, if you're a fan, I was a big fan of Hotshot Golf. I was also a big fan of Mario Golf on the GameCube. And it's that style of golf game, you know, not really simulation, more arcadey.
Right. It's a solid game. I mean, it's a solid golf game. My only complaint was that there's nothing next gen about it. It doesn't There's nothing about
it that makes you go, oh, this is the future. But it's a fun game, and it's a game I can play with my kids in the room.
Does it have a lot of in-game purchases, like freemium stuff in there?
Yes.
Yes and no. Actually, not really. You earn credits. It's like Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
How many different kinds of currency are in this game?
It's like Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. You could get upgrades like new golf clubs or a better caddy or whatever it might be. And you could buy different decks of cards like Mass Effect 3 at four different tiers, I think, actually, in this game. And the amount of credits that you earn playing golf allows you to buy the decks of cards to unlock more stuff. Or you could just go ahead and buy credits. I don't even know how much the credits cost because I played the game for maybe 2 hours and I already earned, and I had within that time was able to buy like 3 purple packs and 1 green pack, whatever it might be. Everything except for the super pack. So you don't need to spend any money. But it's that option is there if you really felt like it.
Right. It sucks. I hate that. There's no reason to have virtual currency in a golf game. I mean, it's just
like free to play. Like if they'd have tried this out as one of the, like what they did with Killer Instinct, and just said, "Hey, here's a free game we made," and
they should have. I bet you they would have made more money, especially when there's not that many games to be. I think it was a missed opportunity when there's not that many games to play on your new console. Put out free to play.
See, this is for two people who haven't played the game. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, because then they would have made it harder to earn credits within the game itself, and unlocking things would have been impossible. You earn a lot of credits by playing a round of golf.
It's impossible.
It's very
for them to
easy
sell this
to unlock
game,
new things.
It's impossible to sell this game. Where do I go?
I bought it.
How much is it? How much is it now?
$15.
Too much.
I think it's a fine game for $15.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's fun. I'm just saying no one's going to go through the store on Xbox One and see Power Star Golf and buy it. Very small amount of people are going to do that.
If anything, it needs a demo of that first 3-hole golf course that Cheapy played.
All right. What else do we have here? Oh, I had the same guy that I was telling you about, the same family that plays Nerf guns with us, he worked for Microsoft for a really long time in Japan. He was an executive at Microsoft. And he came over to our house. I wanted to show him the Xbox and, you know, actually and play some. I wanted to show him my PC setup, my gaming PC setup as well. And of course, like I said, oh, check out how cool the voice controls are on the Xbox. What you know exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, of course. Right?
So check this out. Ready? Xbox on. Xbox on. Xbox on. Never works at all. Nothing.
The
voice
Xbox controls is like the Michigan J Frog of video game consoles.
Exactly. Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing, and he was laughing because he hates everything Microsoft.
No. I do the same thing though with the different intonations that you're gonna just start phrasing it in different ways,
different pauses. So, right. Yeah,
so annoying. It was so I couldn't get it to work at all, and I don't know if it was because you know there were a bunch of kids in the apartment and they were pretty noisy, or just because the fact that I wanted to show it to somebody, it just knew it, and then it decided it wasn't going to work at all. But yeah, like the voice controls just did not work at all. And he was just laughing because he's pretty down on Microsoft having been a long time employee there. Anyway, let's move on to Sony. Thomas Nieto 13 writes in via Twitter. He says, wants us to talk about the Tomb Raider rumors, which basically are the new Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which is coming out soon. Rumors have come out that the PlayStation 4 version can hit the 60 frame per second mark, while the Xbox One version is pretty much going to stay around 30 frames per second for most of the game. And only in the most sparse of environments can it shoot up above 30 frames per second. I would say that if that is true, which it sounds like it is, that would be a good reason to pick up the PlayStation 4 version over the Xbox One version.
Unless you played the game a year ago, then what's the point?
Well, that's where I am. But people, I mean, plenty of people probably have not.
It's a great game. I'm sure both versions are fine.
But obviously you're going to want the one that looks better.
Yeah, if you have both consoles. I mean, I wouldn't say, if you only have the one, don't go out and buy Tomb Raider if you want it.
Yeah. I'm still not surprised that this is happening. I would be surprised, and maybe, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying that I would be surprised if this is still happening, let's say, 3 years from now. But, like I said, I could be totally wrong.
I think it's going to keep on happening.
You think they'll never figure out how to tighten this shit up?
It'll be on a a game-by-game basis, but...
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Tomb Raider, on my PC rig, it struggles on there if I turn everything up all the way.
Yes.
I mean, it's a pretty intense game.
They got that Tress FX hair.
Is that coming to consoles as well?
Yeah.
All right.
So, I don't know. I mean, because PlayStation 3 had the same problem when it came out. It was supposed to be more powerful than the Xbox, but it was, I guess, harder to program
for. Well, yeah, but the opposite is true this time. The PS4 is more powerful than the Xbox.
I know.
But the PS4 is supposedly easier to develop for it than the Xbox because of dual core something.
I see. So you're saying so PlayStation 4 has all the advantages this time?
Yes, which might make it... If it becomes the lead console for most of these next-gen games, you may see lesser ports on the Xbox One. That's a very real possibility.
Forever and ever. Okay.
Yeah. It was that way with the PlayStation 3 for how long? 5-6 years?
It took a while. No.
What? Yeah.
Were the PlayStation... Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, some of the games, they never have sorted it out, right?
Like Bethesda Skyrim, games. Yeah. Skyrim's the perfect example. That is a late-gen game that suffered because it was on the, the harder-to-develop console. So what happens to Skyrim 2 on the Xbox One? Is that game going to be a piece of shit?
I don't know.
The world may never know.
Well, they will know when it comes out.
I know.
Won't they? Anyway, okay. So, anything else for Sony? Should we talk about Nintendo because of all the shit that's been going on with Nintendo?
Yes. Or Nintendo.
Let's talk about some Nintendo.
So, that happened right after we recorded our last show. Nintendo had to cut their Wii U sales forecast by 70% or so, which greatly affected their financials, or overall financials, which changed from, I think it was, they were expecting an income of almost $958 million, and then instead they were expecting to lose $335 million. So that was that's quite a big swing right there. So I guess those holiday sales of the Wii U were not as expected.
Well, I don't know if it was just the holiday sales. It was the whole year sales.
Right. Well, yeah, no, because
the whole year was kind of a bust.
The whole year was a bust, but Iwata put out a sales forecast pretty late into the year for Wii U that was crazy optimistic.
Yeah, hoping and praying that
somehow.
Maybe he didn't know the other consoles were coming out.
Do you think he's that out of it?
There's something going on over there. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I know I got a phone call while I was at Ty's soccer practice on, what day was that? Monday.
From Iwata?
And it was not from Iwata, but from Bloomberg.
Okay.
And they said they were writing a story. I'm in there Rolodex because I used to be on their TV show. Mm-hmm. When they,
I remember.
I don't think they...
You pooped your pants. We got it. Yep.
No, that wasn't Bloomberg. That was G4. And I didn't poop my pants. I just made it, if you remember. I almost pooped my pants, okay? It's a big difference there. That would be very unprofessional if I pooped my pants. But instead, I just, as soon as they opened the door, I ran to the bathroom, which was completely professional. And I didn't clog their toilet, mostly. I got a phone call from Bloomberg. This is the guy said he was working on a story and didn't really know much about Nintendo. So he was reaching out to their so-called experts to learn about the situation. But what's always the case with these articles that, with all these sort of mainstream media sites is that I guess somebody the editor, I don't know the titles of these people, but they have an idea for a story, okay? And in this case, clearly the idea for the story was, should Iwata be fired? And they keep asking you these leading questions to get you to say that Iwata should be fired, so then they can write the story. You know, everybody says Iwata should be fired.
Yeah, they already have the story written.
Right. They have the headline written, and now they just need to find
people. They need
people
to fill in the quotations.
Right. And this is not just a Bloomberg thing. This has happened with other news outlets as well that have spoken to me. And it took me a while to figure out that this is how things worked. And I wasn't really willing to come out and say that I think Iwata should be fired, because I to be honest, like, I just don't know much about, you know, his role with the company. And how do I know if it's really his fault that the Wii U didn't sell? I mean, of course, he's the president and the bucks should stop there. But look, I don't know. I don't know the guy. Whatever. So I wouldn't come out and say it. And of course, I noticed that I'm not mentioned in the article anywhere when the article got posted, even though I spoke to the guy forever. But anyway, so I was going to ask you guys, I mean, do you think, like, is this the end for Iwata? Do you think Nintendo, you know, now there's rumors that Nintendo has a new next gen console in development. What's going on. They better have something going on.
Yeah, they probably need to have something. And if you're asking me if I think Iwata should be fired or if I think he will be fired, that's two different questions. I'm with you. I don't know if he should be fired. I don't really know the inner workings of the company that well. I don't work for Nintendo.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really feel comfortable saying, but Iwata should be fired.
It's hard to say, hey, let's fire this guy that was also in charge when we put out the DS and the Wii.
Exactly. That's why I wouldn't come out and say, I knew that, like, I wasn't going to be in the article if I didn't say that, because I've had this happen before. In fact, I can't remember. I know I talked about it on the CADcast, and this was years ago, that I think it was a different outlet contacted me in a similar situation. And they had the headline all written up for some, like, scandalous type of story about the video game industry. And I basically told the guy I thought it was a really stupid story. And I actually wound up killing the story because I told the guy that they were basically just wrong. I can't remember what it was about, but I forgot who it was.
I think we talked about it on the show at one point.
We did. Yeah. We did. I know we did.
I remember talking about it, but yes.
This is CAG historian. We'll probably
exactly when
it
he
like
hits it. But it's, you know, and I do. Do they need to make some changes? Probably. Do they need to maybe? It's hard to say. It's also such a Japanese company. Would they be willing to let the, you know, Nintendo of America make any decisions?
That's what I talked about with a guy during this interview. He said, like, well, if they fire Iwata, you know, who would be next in line? And then he's like, I have this name here, Miyamoto. I was like, no, I don't think. I think he just makes the games. I don't think he's.
He's not management.
I don't think he's really executive management in that type of way. You know, Reggie, like, could Reggie run Nintendo?
I don't know. What is I'm going to say it, and I know it's, and I've said it before, and I know it sounds mean, but what has Reggie ever done?
He made the Bigfoot pizza.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, what has he ever done other than.
We don't know. We have no idea.
Maybe he's done a lot of things, but I don't know.
I think he makes decisions.
What decisions? Give me a decision that he's made or that you think he might have made.
I don't know. I picture him in a boardroom and nodding a lot.
Exactly. I picture him in a boardroom nodding a lot, saying, okay, I have enough to talk about at E3.
No, he doesn't, because they didn't even do a press conference.
Exactly. So really, what has he done even in the last 12 months?
He said, let's not do a press conference at E3 this year.
That might have been his best decision.
I don't know. The question is, I mean, yeah, like you said, how much of a role does North American management play in the overall strategy of Nintendo? And typically in Japanese companies, the answer was zero. But lately, you have these hardcore, old school Japanese companies that are bringing on Western management.
Because Sony, there's money to be made in the United States, and the way to market to Americans is very different than the way you market to the Japanese. And having the best-selling console in Japan isn't going to pay the bills.
Well, exactly. They don't have that either. That's not the...
Well, I know. The marketing is not the issue. They don't have that either.
It's that nobody wants it's not a marketing. Wii U.
Right. It was the decision to make it was the problem.
The decision to make it 3 years too late.
Yes. Yep. That's... Yeah, we've talked about all these things. And now... So now there's a rumor, and this is from a site called Nintendo News, and
I don't even understand this rumor. Explain this to me.
Okay. I will explain it. Now, of course, the first part of this blog post, they go on to say that I'm just going to quote it for you because here, this is probably true for most of you. If this is your first time on Nintendo News, I want to personally make it clear that we have an impeccable reputation when it comes to delivering information that's credible and newsworthy. And then he goes on to say, none of this information is 100% guaranteed. Okay.
I read the whole thing. I couldn't figure out where the information was.
Okay, so there wasn't... All they did was he said there's something called Nintendo Fusion.
Yeah, it's been around for 10 years.
Well, not The Rock. He mentions The Rock Festival.
Right, but that's what Nintendo Fusion has been, like, since...
Okay.
Like, as soon as I heard that name, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have... some like sampler CDs that they gave away at Best Buy that said Nintendo Fusion.
Well, did you scroll down further? Because they mentioned two pieces of hardware, the Fusion DS and the Fusion Terminal.
Well, I did see that, but I didn't understand how that had anything to do with the Nintendo Fusion website.
I don't know that it does necessarily.
So that was my leap is I didn't understand how we went from Nintendo Fusion website to, hey, there might be two new devices coming.
Right. And there's no information other than this word Fusion DS, Fusion Terminal, and then very specific hardware specs for each of them. And it was funny because so you look at Fusion DS and Fusion Terminal, and I remember talking about on the CadCast how we thought that Nintendo should have built a handheld that really connects to something that connects to your TV.
Yeah, the 3DS and the Wii U need to talk.
Right. Which they don't. And they've always sort of teased, even in the original DS, right, that you could connect the DS to the GameCube? The Game Boy Advance connected to the GameCube, correct. Right? But only for like one game, right? like a handful of games.
Well,
you had the Pac-Man
Mario
game.
Four Swords.
Okay. Yeah. It's like three games or whatever.
Pac-Man. There's that cool Pac-Man game.
Right, Pac-Man Versus, right? Is that the name of it?
Yep, Pac-Man Versus, Mario Four Swords, Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Mario Four
so
Swords?
So very limited.
Did I say Mario Four Swords?
It's
that's funny.
Mario.
The Legend
that's another
of
gay,
Zelda
that's another
Four
gay
Swords.
Product that Wombat's working on, I think.
Yes. Mario? I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
So if these rumors have any basis in reality, it sounds like that's what Nintendo is working on, a handheld that you can connect to your TV but have a next-gen experience on both of them.
Yeah, it's the idea they already had and screwed up.
Right, that they never took to fruition.
Right, had it right there in front of them with the Wii U and the 3DS. Like,
right.
They're both there.
But even the 3DS is a little... to last gen, I think, to give you like a big screen experience that's not going to look shitty. You know, you blow up those low res games on a big screen, they're not going to look too good. So I don't know. This is, you know, it's funny because somebody wrote in and said, here, where is this? Darth Santin wrote in and said, could Nintendo do anything to make me personally interested in a new console? Something like this would interest me. Especially if it had a subscription-based plan where I could play old Nintendo games, like which we talked about a few weeks ago, that would totally interest me. But like a specific handheld doesn't really interest me because I just wouldn't use it that much, and you know, like a low res console that doesn't have very many games on it doesn't interest me either. But combine the two, and maybe you have something that I could get behind. I don't know. But I thought that was interesting that at least that these rumors are coming out now. What else we got here? Should we talk quickly about this, the Candy Crush stuff, the King saga? Have you guys read about this? Do you guys know anything about it, Wombat?
I briefly touched on it. I was reading some breaking news that Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is bringing their first real character onto the show. They're going to be bringing...
a character that you heard of?
Yeah, they're bringing on Deathlok.
Dazzler. I never heard of Deathlok.
You never heard of Deathlok?
Nope.
He's like Cyborg, but he wears a red shirt.
Nope.
You'd know him if you saw him.
I know Dazzler.
Everyone knows Dazzler.
Okay. That's exciting breaking news. That show is, I don't know, that show's pretty bad. I couldn't get past. It's no Arrow.
I'm one episode behind on both shows right now, which is interesting.
This week's Arrow is very good.
I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, let's talk about Candy Crush Saga. So they trademarked the word candy?
They trademarked the word, well, not in America, right? This is in Europe somewhere.
Okay, so how does that affect Milton Bradley?
It doesn't affect any of these people, right? I mean, you cannot trademark a general word to encompass everything, okay? So when you file a trademark, you can't just say, hey, now I own the word candy. So they filed a trademark application for candy, and it has to be the trademark has to be very specific. So it has to apply to video games. Okay, so they applied. Here it is. I'm reading on Polygon right now. Video games, gambling services, amusement parks, computer hardware, and apparel. Yeah, good luck with that trademark. They're not going to be able to get that. Okay. And even still, it only will really protect them for, you know, to prevent confusion in the marketplace. That's the whole point of the trademark. So, and they also did the same. They're doing the same thing with Saga, right?
Which is ridiculous. And it's even more ridiculous than candy.
Right, because, you know, video games use the term saga probably quite a bit, as do movies and television shows and all forms of digital entertainment. And of course, like last week, this game, the Banner Saga, came out, and now, like, I guess they got a cease and desist letter or some sort of legal letter, and now everybody's scared, and I don't know. The whole thing is pretty sketchy, and the problem is, you know, if you're a small developer and you get a letter like this, you shit your pants because you know you can't afford to do really any type of... Or you think, you assume you can't afford to do any type of legal defense.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you can, because they're not suing you, right? They're just sending you some letter. You can afford to go talk to a lawyer and, you know, see what's going to happen. And the chances are they're not just going to sue the shit out of everybody because it costs them money. And if it's something that's really not disrupting their business, it's... You know, still has to pay a lawyer.
Really, they're just trying to make sure that nobody clones their Bejeweled clone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. We ripped off a game. That means you can't.
Well, you can. You just can't call it Candy or Saga.
Yeah. So, and I can understand that. If I made a game called Candy Saga that was a match 3 game and Candy Crush Saga wanted to sue me, I would understand that.
Exactly.
If I make an RPG called The Banner Saga, you know what I don't think about? Candy Crush.
Exactly. So it is, the whole thing is pretty ridiculous. I can understand why they would want to file those trademarks, like just like you said, to protect against the all the clones that are inevitable on app marketplaces. But yeah, it's also, it's getting a little ridiculous when you start sending out legal.
They already got all the money,
people.
Right? Candy Crush Saga already has all the money.
Yes, they have all of it.
Pretty much. Anyway, so I think that's that. Let's see. I've been playing. Oh, we have big news on the PC front, everybody. Huge news. Shipwreck bought Rust.
You talked about this game in depth last week, by the way.
I booted it up. I've got 3 minutes into it. I saw a lot of servers pop up, and then I got scared and turned it off.
Good. You did it right.
I did it right. Okay.
Yeah, I know Wombat will die if I talk about Rust, so I just want to, I'll say one thing that I listened to this week's Rebel FM podcast for the first time because they talked about Rust for the whole time. So if you want to get a good idea of what Rust is all about, you should listen to that specific episode. And I'm also, I started playing on the same server that they, those guys play on. And a CAG was very kind to me and helped me out and gave me a lot of treats.
Did he give you rocks and cutlets?
Dude, he gave me cutlets. He gave me a shotgun. He gave me clothes. You know, you start that game naked, and you see peni in that game if people aren't wearing clothes. So he gave me all the goodies. He told me how to build a small shack, actually a small house. I've graduated from shack to small house. And I shot a guy in the chest with a shotgun, which was fun. And I did it all live on Twitch. It was really fun.
You'll have to let me know what server you're playing on, because all I saw was you're going to get murdered if you start up on this server. That's basically what I saw on my screen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do it together. Maybe we can play some next week.
Sexy.
I want to do a lot of live streaming next week to promote the end of the Child's Play charity raffle. So
you should live stream some Power Star Golf.
I can't.
I know.
Well, I could if I... Can you do it yet? I don't know. Have they unlocked that?
No.
No, I mean, well, you can do it the old-fashioned way.
Right, so I mean, the old-fashioned way you might be able to do it.
I think you can.
Unless you have played a Blu-ray in there, I think.
Oh, is that how it is?
Yeah, I think if you put a Blu-ray in there, then it enables the HDCP.
They said they're going to unlock that, right? Both Sony and Microsoft said that, but who knows? Speaking of which, let's go to the CAG bag. KTS Daddy writes in, do you think the reason the Xbox One doesn't have Twitch.tv yet is because of the CPU/GPU? Mine lags when I watch TV with a game running. That could be a very good reason that they haven't figured out how to make this thing actually work yet. It's a very intensive process when you're, you know, not only playing a game and then you want to broadcast it live and not have it look like hot garbage. You would need you need some power there.
They need to do some work on the back end.
They need to do some work on the back end. I know, you know, when you stream stuff on PlayStation 4, it doesn't look like awesome. It's definitely not doing it at full HD. I don't know what the resolution is, but it's from the ones that I've seen, it looks pretty poor, but at least they have it. At least it's manageable. You need some muscle there, and maybe the Xbox One just doesn't have the muscle and they're trying to figure out how they can make do with what they got. But I guess we'll find out soon. Nintendo Chris wants to know if any of us are picking up Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. I haven't even seen as much of a video or screenshot of this game. I don't know anything about
it. You didn't see it with me at E3?
No.
No, we saw it.
Okay.
You.
Just Wombat and I saw it. Okay.
This is a third person shooter?
Yeah.
Third person you sound excited. Shooter/garden defense. Like you can plant
it
different plants.
Okay.
Similar to Plants vs. Zombies, but you're also moving around as different ones.
Online multiplayer, like competitive?
I believe there's something online.
Weren't you at this demo?
Yeah, I don't really remember any of it, and I haven't really showed much of it since. But it's supposedly coming out soon.
It looked fun.
Yeah, it's very...
It's only $40, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I saw it, I came out of the room and thought, that better be $15. but that was, I mean, that was what, in June, July, whenever E3 was.
Okay.
I would wait for reviews on that one.
I'll probably get it just because I like the franchise, but.
I'm talking to the general consumer, not you.
Right. The free iPad game is pretty good.
That's okay. I still won't play that. I have the first one. I played that. That's all right.
I don't know. Any of these other questions even worth answering? You like any of these other questions? There's only four here.
Not really.
What?
No.
What about I like the one by Kulafia.
Okay. Kulafia asks, now that we're a few months in, what do you think your main platform for the next console gen will be? Wow, we have to decide already. And this includes PC. Shipwreck, since you liked it, you get to go first.
I don't know.
You're not using your PC at all.
I'm getting ready to use it a lot because it's moving into the living room.
Aha, finally.
It's got to be the one,
on your power strip?
I guess, right now, though, because that's what I watch my cable through. So it's on all the time.
See, that was Microsoft's best trick, I feel.
It was a pretty good TV trick. It's the reason why I am the leader on the Xbox One leaderboards for most studs collected in Lego Marvel.
Is that true? Everywhere? That's the global leaderboard?
I don't know if it's global. I have to check
that.
Or that
dude's it could be the dude's friend list.
But it's the number that he's showing there is pretty accurate. I'm well over, I think, 200 billion studs.
I like how the number was so big that it just blends into your Xbox Live.
Exactly. I mean, my number is pretty ridiculous. Because
you basically broke the display.
Yes, I broke the display. That's how many studs I have in Lego Marvel.
Tell me about it, stud.
Although I wouldn't be surprised on the Xbox One only, because I don't know how many people are playing that game on the Xbox One.
Mm.
Exactly.
To answer this guy's question,
I'm playing that game, by the way, the story mode, yeah. A second game save. We're on a second playthrough. We're unlocking all the characters again.
You have a sickness also.
It's not me. It's my daughter. It's her favorite game of all time.
Has she tried Rise? Not really.
I finished Rise.
I know that, but she hasn't.
Yeah. No, she has not. Rise was fun. I beat the game.
Did you want to answer this guy's question? Well, you only have the
I only have the one, so I'm like useless for this question. So I'm talking about
That's
Rise.
Why I liked it.
Thanks.
I right now PC for me. I haven't really turned on either console in a while, and whenever they release a new graphics card, the Maxwell is the new one that's coming out. I'd probably buy it because my graphics card, even though I have a pretty good graphics card now, it's not really up to the challenge of 1440p. You can't max it.
Every time you buy a new graphics card, you just send me your old one. That should work just fine.
Well, yours is pretty much the same as the one I have now.
And then you could send me your PlayStation 4. I like this plan.
This is a great plan. Okay. Okay, I think that's it for this week's show. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Follow us on Twitter, CheapyD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck, also at Video Game Deals to get those video game deals. Shout out to Wario64 for doing a great job on there. Facebook.com/CheapAssGamer is also a thing that we have. And, oh, yeah, go to youtube.com/GBD to watch the video of my game collection and then donate to the Child's Play charity raffle. It's ending on January 31st, so you don't have much time left to win all these valuable prizes. And that's it. We will see you next week.
Bread's done.
Hey, you still don't have a Sega CD? What are you waiting for, Nintendo to make one?
You have seen the games. Right? Wrong answer, man.
Show him!
Wanna see more?